Joining us on the WBGO Journal is Dr. Richard Besser, the President and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and former Acting Director of the CDC. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Doug.
Now, I know you just posted an op-ed recently, and it was published by CNN, and you write about the urgent need to reassess the current health insurance system. What are your thoughts on how everything is being handled currently when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, one of the things that really concerns me is how politicized the response to the pandemic has become. I ran emergency response at CDC for 4 years. And during that time, we did everything possible to try and keep politics out of decision making. We wanted to ensure that everything that was done based on the best available public health science. And what we see in America right now is a real divide, where public health leaders are calling on everyone in America to do the things that have been shown to work around the globe, wearing masks, social distancing, hand washing, ensuring that everyone has what they need to protect themselves, their families, and communities. And that message has been undercut in many places by political leaders who have said that, well, there's nothing to worry about. These are options, things that you can choose to do or not. But what I do has a profound effect on your health. And what you do has an effect on mine. And if we don't come together as Americans with concern for each other, we're not going to get this under control. And we're going to see a needless spread of disease and, unfortunately, preventable loss of life.
You feel that this pandemic is definitely showing the need, as you mentioned, a reassessment of our current employee-based health insurance system. Can you explain that?
Well, you know, at the start of this pandemic, 28 million people in America lacked health insurance. And for many people with employer-based health insurance, what they've been seeing is that the cost of that has been skyrocketing. What people pay in terms of their premiums, what people pay in terms of their deductibles, has just gone through the roof. And in a pandemic, the impact of that becomes really clear. So, you know, if you just take some of the early guidance from CDC, what they recommended was that if you thought you had COVID, don't go to see your doctor. Give a call, because it may be that this can be handled over the phone. We don't want you to come into a medical setting, whether it's an emergency room or an office, where you could either spread COVID or pick it up from someone else who was there. Well, what does this say to tens of millions of people who don't have a doctor? What it says is, well, you know, either you're gonna stay at home and potentially spread COVID to people who live around you because you're uncertain that that's what you have, and you haven't been given the services you need to prevent that spread, or you're gonna go into an emergency room or a healthcare setting and either put healthcare workers at risk or yourself at risk. And, you know, for the wealthiest nation in the world, it should be unacceptable that your income should have such a profound effect on your ability to be healthy.
We're speaking with Dr. Richard Besser, the former acting director of the CDC during the Obama administration, and he's currently the president and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dr. Besser, you said the lack of care has shown a spotlight on the unequal opportunities and systematic barriers that leave minorities exposed and disproportionately vulnerable.
Yeah, you know, when you look at how this is playing out, Black, Latino, Native Americans are getting infected at higher rates than others, being hospitalized and dying at rates that far exceed the proportion of the population. And there's a lot of reasons for this. Higher proportions of those groups are essential workers, so the risk of exposure is greater. But many work in jobs that don't provide health insurance. The color of your skin and your income in America can be a big predictor on the quality of health insurance you have, the quality of care that you receive, and that has to change. This should be a wake-up call across America that we need to do something to improve our system. And there are many ways to get there, but if we all agree that everyone in this nation has a right to health care, has a right to be able to take care of themselves and their families, if we start at that point, then we can come together as a nation and get there.
Since you went through the whole part of overseeing the H1N1 pandemic as acting director of the CDC, how frustrated are you when you're kind of, do you feel kind of helpless right now?
Well, frustrated doesn't begin to capture what it feels like when you see, you know, we have the best public health agencies in the world, the CDC, the FDA, the National Institutes of Health. And to see CDC, which is the nation's response agency, it's the agency that so many countries around the globe turn to for advice and expertise on how do you respond to a crisis like this, when you see them being sidelined, when we're not able to hear from them every day in terms of what are they learning, what they're learning have as an impact on what we should do now, when we're not seeing that leadership, when we're not seeing a unified national strategy and approach, it's not just frustrating, it's demoralizing, because we know that we can do a lot better than this, and that the control that we've seen in so many countries around the globe that has not been seen in America is something that would be achievable. And, you know, I don't want to be too pessimistic, because the past does not have to predict the future. We can change this and we can turn this around. And as a nation, we can ensure that going forward, we become once again the place that others turn to for advice and respect, because we could be the place that really gets this under control.
What's been the toughest conversation you've had either within your own family or with somebody with the foundation or somebody you've treated?
Wow, you know, I think some of the toughest conversations have been with people I know who've lost loved ones. And you know, it's always hard when someone loses someone in their life. But when there's the possibility that loss of life was preventable, and that we're not doing everything that we can as a nation to ensure that we value every life, regardless of the color of someone's skin or where someone lives or how much income, that we value every life in America, it makes it that much harder, because, you know, while you want to provide comfort, it's hard not to be angry when you see the type of response that's taking place.
I don't know if you're comfortable answering this question, but when you look at how New Jersey and New York City, or the state of New York, are both handling the coronavirus pandemic and putting in guidelines, are you happy with the way both states are handling this?
Well, yeah, I have to say, Doug, that I'm on the Governor's Restart and Recovery Commission here for New Jersey, and I'm one of three state representatives on a regional council that coordinates across the Northeast states. And, you know, I have to say, I'm quite proud of how New York and New Jersey are doing. Not that there haven't been mistakes, but there is, you know, every effort to lead with public health science, and to know that policy changes that are made can have a profound effect on disease transmission. And so there's been this recognition that, you know, opening up aspects of the economy isn't always a one-way street. You may try something, it doesn't work, and you roll it back. So there's been caution, there's been the drive to lead with science, and there have been, you know, intense and important conversations around equity. And by that I mean, how do we ensure in our states that everybody, regardless of color of skin or income, has what they need to protect themselves, their families, and communities? And how do we do that, recognizing that people's needs will vary? And somebody who lives in an apartment with elderly relatives where there aren't extra bedrooms or extra bathrooms will need support if they've been exposed to COVID. They'll need a safe place to stay, and they'll need income support and nutrition support. These are part of the conversation. How do we collect data to know that every community in our states is seeing the same reductions in transmission that we're seeing statewide, and what needs to be done to continue to drive that down, to be able to detect outbreaks sooner? You know, how are we going to know as schools reopen and colleges and universities reopen, where the problem spots are and what needs to happen, and whether, you know, this can be done safely or not? these are, you know, parts of the conversations. And it's been, for me, a great contrast to what I hear at the national level of conversation, that states around the nation are figuring it out on their own because there isn't that national strategy.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Besser, the president and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and former acting director of the CDC. You talked a little bit about masks earlier in this interview. Where do you stand on face coverings getting different messages from different leaders? We just saw some of the events of the Republican National Convention and President Trump wasn't wearing a mask. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, what really bothers me is this idea that in America, we're not willing to do things for others. That's basically what it's saying. Because when I wear a mask, Doug, what I'm saying is, you know, I'm wearing this mask because in case I have a COVID infection and don't know it yet, because you can have it and spread disease for a couple days before you have any symptoms. In case I have that, I want to make sure I'm doing what I can to protect you. And I care about you and I respect you and your health. And you're wearing a mask for the very same reason. It's not just an individual decision. It's this idea that we are responsible. We have a responsibility to each other to protect each other's health. And if that breaks down along political lines, then we fail. Because if 30% of people in America are unwilling to do such a minor thing like wearing a mask and social distancing, then we're not going to get this under control, because that's all it takes to continue seeing transmission at high levels in communities.
One last question for you, Dr. Besser. If you were in charge right now of the country, what would be the first step you would take to try to turn this in the direction you'd like it to be?
Well, I would do everything I could to try and get politics to lead with public health. To get CDC out there every day talking to the public so that we can understand when there's changes in recommendations, why that's occurring, so we can understand why measures are being taken that restrict people's activity and what the value is there, so we can understand the trade-offs that are involved with opening schools and universities and other institutions, and how we can do that in as safe a way as possible, and what we need to do in America to ensure that we value every life the same and that everyone has the same opportunity to protect themselves, their families, and communities, because that's not what's going on right now, and we can change that.
Dr. Richard Besser, the former acting director of the CDC and currently the president and CEO of Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Doug. I really enjoyed the conversation.